Tim, how are you?
Nice segue. Funeral into Skubic. That feels good, doesn't it? Instead of gifts, just send flowers.
You know, I never know where these interviews with you are going, and I always enjoy that. How are you?
Good.
You know what? I heard Mayor Virg Bonero on the program, and he said you all are wrong that he's going to be elected to governor a week from tomorrow.
Maybe he's right.
Well, what do you think? Does he stand a chance? Does he have a chance?
Absolutely. This is not over until it's over. Strange things happen in the last week of a campaign. At this point, as we've talked about numerous times, and the Bonero people are fond of remembering this, at this point, everybody thought that John Engler was going to lose to Jim Blanchard. And we woke up the day after the election, and John Engler was governor-elect, and Blanchard was looking for work. Is that likely to happen? The odds are against it. But in politics, anything can happen. The key to this thing is Bonero has to find some way to get his people to the polls. And the lethargy is pretty strong out there if the polling data is correct. But there's ways to win this race, but it is an uphill climb. And as he likes to say, I've been an underdog before. But if he pulls this thing off, let me tell you, it'll be the most historic comeback in state political history.
Let's talk about the race. Oh, and before we get to the Mark Schauer race, let's talk. Did Bill Clinton coming into Michigan help Virg Bonero?
Sure. The part of the problem, though, in Detroit is the turnout was pretty abysmal, 500 people. That was not a great showing. Clinton has been in Michigan before and has drawn larger crowds than that. And that may be symbolic of what's going on in Detroit. They are trying to gin up the vote there, and Bonero is doing all that he can. So it helped. Did it turn the tide? No. If you had a choice, you'd want to bring Mr. Clinton in because he does rile up the crowd. And excuse me. And I thought both of them, the excerpts that I heard, I was not there. The excerpts that I heard, they were both on their game, and it got the troops' juices flowing. But there weren't a lot of troops in the place to enjoy that.
Well, this weekend, I was besieged by these television commercials, which grandma and grandpas were roasting Mr. Wahlberg about his lack of support for Social Security.
Yep.
And then I was reading all these negative comments from the opposition about Clinton coming in and the Democrats supporting Mr. Schauer. This is a kind of a nasty race.
Well, it is. And we sort of wonder at this point, and somebody ought to do some research on this. I wonder if the ads at this juncture make any difference at all. My sense is most people have pretty much made up their minds. And if you do have an undecided factor in any of these races, there's a good chance that half of those undecideds won't even vote, which is why they're undecided. I mean, many of these elections have been very clear cut. I mean, the contrast between Mr. Bonero and Mr. Snyder is pretty clear. Ditto for Mr. Wahlberg and Mr. Schauer. If you can't make up your mind by this point, I'm not sure that any of these ads have any impact at all other than to feed the coffers of the radio and TV stations.
Yesterday, the Detroit Free Press endorsed the candidate that Virg Bonero didn't want to hear.
Yeah.
When we talk about Rick Snyder, how much will that help him? Does it help?
I don't think editorial endorsements mean squat, to be honest with you. The 5% of the people that read the editorial page are probably not swayed by that, with all due respect to Ron Zonkowski and the guys at the Free Press and at the Detroit News, whom I assume will also endorse Snyder. I really think that years ago, when newspapers and, for example, labor leaders, this is now going back 40 years or so, when they took a stance, it really meant something. If Walter Reuther said, "Guys, I want you to go out and vote for X," by golly, they did, or they were in trouble. Now, not so much. I think we're more independent. I think we think for ourselves when we are thinking as voters, and you know my thoughts on that we don't think very much. But I think, you know, if do you want to have the endorsement? Of course you do. Does it turn the race? No, it doesn't.
Tim, who's in trouble statewide?
I think the Democrats are. 2 months ago, if you and I had been talking, as I'm sure we did, I told you then that the Democrats would maintain control of the House. They now have 67 seats at the end of the day. I think they'll be lucky to hang on to the majority at 56, and I think they would be happy to hit that as well. The Republicans have almost a perfect storm going in their in their favor. They have enthusiasm in the troops. The D's, not so much. They've got some local races. Here's the math. It's very simple. The number is 13. If the Republicans can pick up 13 seats, they will take control from the Democrats, and you could have, theoretically, a government run by Republicans, because the Senate is going to stay Republican. You could have a Republican governor, which would make it very, very interesting.
We're talking with Tim Skubick, who's been covering Michigan government and politics for more than 35 years.
Make it 40 to keep it even. But then who's counting?
You know what? I try not to use numbers.
No,
you know?
Well, you know what? I'm sort of proud of that.
Yeah?
You know?
Well, you should be.
Well, all the other guys that were here have all died, okay? So I sort of got it by default.
In your blog in this morning's Oakland Press, you talked about Here Comes the Judge and the four majority party candidates running for the Supreme Court.
Yeah, this is the name game. As I suggest in the blog, people are going to go into the voting booth next Tuesday and say, I don't know anything about these guys running for the high court, their judicial record or whatever, but, well, there's a Mary Beth Kelly. Didn't I vote for a Kelly before? And won't know that it was Marilyn. Or didn't I vote for, maybe she's related to Frank Kelly, okay? So the name game becomes the predominant theme, and as I list it there, if you've got an Irish Catholic name, it's almost tantamount to getting a seat on the court. Read off the names of all of the Irish Catholics that have been there. I mean, it's a long, long list. Kavanaugh's with a C, Kavanaugh with a K. You got Kelly's, you got Brennan's, you McReilly's. I mean, you got the whole nine yards. So it comes down to the name game, which is just solely unfortunate. I mean, what a way to pick people for a high court seat like that.
Tim, you, in a story, headline, Michigan State Board of Education candidates dropped the ball. What do you mean by that?
Well, that piece was about, I did a debate with these guys, and there were a couple of interesting things came out of the debate. I asked a question, if you had a friend who was a local school soup, and they called you up and said, look, I either got to cut the band or football, what should I do? And all four of these candidates said, cut the football program. Mm-hmm. Talk about tantamount to committing Harry Carey. I mean, isn't that an amazing statement?
Well, you and I talked about this before, and as crazy as it sounds, that's the way people lean. And to let you get on a stump again, people need to get more serious about voting and study the issues.
Yeah, they do. They need to know who these guys are. And one of the guys, Dr. Zell, didn't even know what Proposal A was, which I thought was rather revealing.
Do we need a constitutional convention?
You know what? I haven't really decided on that myself. Not that that makes any difference. The pros and cons are it costs a lot of money. The polling data suggests it's going down the tubes. But you could make the argument, as Tom George and others make, that look at we've been piecemealing this Constitution to death. Why not just open the puppy up and rewrite it and get it right and go from there? I don't think it's going to pass, though. So I believe it's a moot issue.
Not in these tough economic times.
Probably not. The support drops to 11% when you tell people the alleged price tag, and there's a dispute over that.
What are you going to be working on for Channel 6 today?
Actually, nothing. I'm headed up to Alpena to do a town hall meeting tonight, and then I've got another one in Ludington, so the viewers will get a break. No Skubick on Monday or Tuesday, but we'll make up for it on Wednesday.
And, Tim, I want people to be able to use the information that you provide with your writing and with your television shows, because they're trying to make up their mind what they're going to do. Tell them how to do that.
Well, WKER.org, we will have a correspondence wrap-up of the election this coming Friday with a pretty good panel of guys to parse this thing and put the top on it and put a ribbon on it. We're writing a daily blog at theoaklandpress.com, and we're in the Mirror's newsletter, which I recommend that you take if you really want to know what's going on in the Capitol. You need to buy this thing. It's a daily compilation of everything that goes on in the Capitol. We even cover the people that go to the bathroom, okay? You know, that's how in-depth it is. And so that's a good place to find us as well. And, of course, stuff on Channel 6.
And then, Tim, we need to tell our audience that it's nonpartisan.
Oh, what, the Mirror's newsletter?
All the stuff.
All the stuff, yeah.
You don't care what they do, but you're going to give them the information.
I don't care who's elected. I'll be there to cover them, my friend. And I look forward to talking to you down the road, man.
All right, enjoy your day.
Enjoy, man. Bye-bye.